just for logistical purposes, if you would please just, when you speak up with your question or your comments or responses, just give us your name and the health plan that you're with so that we'll know who we're talking to. So with that, I'll open up the discussion. Did someone come today with a specific question or issue that you wanted to raise with the group?
I did. This is Kim Griffith with Health Alliance Medical Plans in Illinois.
Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Great to hear your voice. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, it's actually back to one of the threads that were being bounced around a little bit, and the subject of it was claim referrals. And the discussion was talking about if there's, you know, an out-of-network claim. And I'm particularly interested in how people are handling ancillary services like lab, x-ray, you know, anesthesiology, et cetera. And some of the plans were responding, and they were saying that, you know, some plans are saying we pay them in-network. And I'm trying to get at, you know, how are you paying them at 100% of charges? And a couple plans said UNC. And I didn't know if that meant they were assessing that difference between billed and UNC to the member or how they were handling that with their providers. And it kind of just, you know, the responses just kind of stopped and we all lost track of it and got busy with something else. But I wanted to surface it again and see if we could get some more feedback on that.
Thank you, Kim. Let's open up the discussion. So particularly regarding ancillary services, out of network or out of area, how are you handling those?
This is Cindy at Cox Health Plan, and I think I'll share what we are doing currently, and I think it's related to the same item, but the issue that we have is primarily happens when a member uses a provider in one of our in our primary network outside of our service area. So we obviously we're a hospital-owned, provider-owned health plan, and we have our own local network. But if we have a member that, and we're in Springfield, Missouri, so if I have a member that uses a facility, say, in Kansas City, Missouri, then we would access a primary network. Currently, we're using First Health for that. And so we do find that, like, the anesthesiologists, pathologists, those type of providers typically do not have contracts with First Health.
Right.
So then those claims would go out to more of an extender network, and we are utilizing MultiPlan for that. If the member, the claim reprices through MultiPlan, and then the provider is balance billing the member because then it applies the out-of-network benefit, we have a statement that goes out on our EOBs that says if you saw a First Health, we're at a First Health facility and you've received bills from another physician, the member can contact us and we apply then what we call a wrap policy. So we'll maintain that MultiPlan discount, but then we apply the in-network benefits, and so the provider stops balance billing the member that way. We do have some scenarios, though, where that provider is not contracted with the MultiPlan network, mm-hmm. and so then we, a part of our MultiPlan process, we utilize Data iSight, which is very similar to a usual and customary rate. And so there are times where the provider won't accept that Data iSight pricing and we're wrapping that claim. So then we go back to Data iSight, ask them to negotiate with the provider. If the provider refuses to negotiate, then our only option is 100% of bill charges in those instances.
Okay. And in that instance, you're still paying, in that case, you're paying it in network. It sounds like your default is to pay it out of network, but you have that notation on the EOB. So if the member calls and says, hey, I saw an in-network provider, a First Health provider, and he arranged all this, then you're changing it and paying it in network.
Correct.
Okay.
And sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I do have some questions, and it's kind of along this referral line, but I don't know if I should ask it now or wait to finish off this part of the question first.
Just hold it 1 second, and let's see. Is there any other comments that folks would have to this first part of the question?
I do.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle Lang from Community Care in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what you just described is pretty much our process as well. But what I'm curious about is when you cannot get a provider to accept the eyesight allowable amount and you reprocess that claim, although you may be using billed charges, oftentimes what we're finding is you affect the member's cost share. Are you getting much complaint or pushback from the members when, say, you originally sent an EOB out that showed, you know, maybe $57 as member liable, but now you're showing maybe $300 because obviously when you increase the allowable amount and you paid that, if they had any deductible or coinsurance, you could also increase the member cost share. So I was just kind of curious about if you're experiencing that, and if so, what are you doing with that?
I don't think we have experienced that. I think most of the instances that we've had, the member has already met their in-network member responsibility or we're very close to it. Also, those coinsurance rates are typically higher, so they have less member responsibility. If a scenario like that would occur, it would be handled through our member services department, and they would explain the benefit plan to the member, why it processed one way originally, and explain to them where that provider was balance billing them for that difference between the allowable and the billed charge plus their coinsurance or copay or deductible. Now we're taking on that usual and customary responsibility, but they're still responsible for their benefit plan and explain what their coinsurance is and their deductible and how that benefit plan works. But I haven't received any feedback from our member services department that that's caused an issue.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Kim again. So I'm sorry I didn't catch the name of the person from Cox Health Plan.
It's Cindy, sorry.
Okay, Cindy. So the follow-up question I had, too, to your response was, I assume that you default to out-of-network. I think probably just the labor involved with your claim staff having to do all the searching to figure out who did they see and who ordered this. Do I change it to in-network? You just default to out-of-network. And I wondered, from a member perspective, if you've gotten a lot of feedback and frustration around that, that they have to call to tell you that they saw somebody in-network so that you'll pay it in-network.
We have a pretty robust, what we call our repricing filter. And so it is automated for the most part. And so we start at the first health level where if a member sees a physician or provider outside of our service area, then it goes to first health first. If it comes back from first health and no, then it moves out to multi-plan. As far as it pricing or processing as an out-of-network benefit, either under multi-plan or data eyesight, and the member having to call in, we have not received complaints about that process.
Okay. Because you, even though you're sending it out to get priced, if it's when you, if you get a price from First Health, then you automatically pay it in network.
Correct. Right?
If you go down to multi-plan, you don't, because then you're really in the out-of-network arena.
Correct. So,
okay. Okay.
All right, any other comments up toward this part of the question? If not, Cindy, do you want to go back? And you mentioned that you had an additional kind of related question.
Yeah, one of the, frustrations, I guess I would say, I experience, so like all plans, we have specific things that require authorization. And so if a claim comes in and that authorization can't be found in the system, then an edit fires. And we use Cognizant's product called QNext for our claims processing. So it will hit an authorization edit, and that pushes it to our medical department. If our medical department determines that they need medical records, then they will make a request for the medical records. The issue is that if, say, it's an inpatient claim and the first claim we receive is one of the physicians that the member saw while they were inpatient, the medical department doesn't need the records from the physician. Those records would make no difference for them. They wouldn't enter an auth based on the physician's record. It's the facility record. But in the state of Missouri, because that physician is technically considered the non-claimant, because it's the facility that we need the records from, I can't really deny that claim for medical records. And I'm just having some difficulty, I guess, swaying my medical department to my way of thinking. In my past history prior to Cox Health Plans, we wouldn't have held the physicians responsible for the facility not getting an authorization. And I'm just curious how other plans handle it, if they have issues with facilities not getting authorizations, and then how do they handle it? And do they only, if they are penalizing the provider for not getting an authorization, are they only penalizing the facility and still paying the related physician claims? And if you do have a process, how did you convince your medical department to come onto your way of thinking?
It's a great question, Cindy. How are others on the line handling authorizations and getting the facility records, and then how do you hold the physician? Anyone else dealing with something similar, or have maybe you have a different process that's working, and we'd like to hear that.
This is Kim from Health Alliance. I mean, I can share what we're doing, and Lisa Parker's been here and can keep me honest because I know it gets really confusing. So we require that the physician is responsible to prior auth in order for his own services to be paid for. So if the physician calls to PA and his service is approved, then his claim and all associated claims are approved as well. If a physician calls in to PA something going inpatient and it's denied, because then we send a letter and we copy, I think we copy the facility too that we knew he was trying to admit to or what have you, then all claims are denied. If a surgeon does not call at all to PA, then when his claim comes in, it's denied. But as long as the facility notified us of their admission, their claim is paid. So in the case you're really talking about, if the facility didn't call to notify us of an admission, usually we would just disallow that claim and hold the facility responsible. We have a few contracts where we don't deny up front, but retrospectively there's reporting that's done, and their contract just holds them to, like, I'll make a number up, like 98% of all their admissions have to be PA'd. So as long as they stay within that threshold, there's really not a financial impact to them. Does that make sense?
Yes. And do you guys require authorization for genetic testing?
Yes.
And so how are you handling it? Do you place the responsibility on the referring provider or the actual lab?
I would believe the referring provider.
Yeah.
So
I know that, you know, something came up the other day at our provider is Carl, and they were just asking the question the other day about services that are requested or ordered at their facility from an outside physician, and the claim we deny is Carl's claim because they did the service without validating and confirming that they're authorized to do it. So if the referring provider didn't request approval when he ordered the test from Carl, actually the provider that did the work is going to be penalized, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's what we were saying. And so the referring provider is not really at risk for that, if you think about it.
So you are denying the labs for the referring not getting the authorization?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the service that we didn't want to have done without a PA, so it's unfortunate, but it's whoever's doing the work needs to ensure the proper authorization is in place.
Okay.
Not saying they like it and they're not fighting it, but.
Yeah. And do you receive what I'm going to call Medicaid reclamation claims? So your member goes to the provider and they present their Medicaid card rather than their commercial insurance card.
Yes.
And so then Medicaid pays when technically you should have paid. Do you, if it's a service that requires authorization, Does your medical staff put in an authorization for that Medicaid claim? So the way we handle those here, the claim is actually processed under Medicaid as the provider. And so I get a lot of configuration type edits because our medical department doesn't want to put in authorizations for that. And so I'm just wondering if other plans put in authorizations for those Medicaid reclamation claims, or if you just pay them because you're just paying back Medicaid in those instances.
Yeah, I would say, to me, if the member showed their Medicaid card to the provider, I don't know that we would have a PA on file because they didn't advise them of us being involved, right? So I'm agreeing with your last statement. For the most part, what we do is when we get one of those reclamation claims is we're just paying back Medicaid.
Okay. I think that's all my referral questions.
Okay. Are there others on the call that would like to chime in to this discussion and share what your process is? Anyone else want to chime in on this part of the discussion? Okay. Let's open it up for our third question. Does anyone else have a question or an issue or a topic that you want to raise? It's Friday. Everyone's had a long week. Are there any other issues or questions that you would like to raise? We probably lost some folks when it dropped all of our calls, and some people may not have rejoined us. So we may have a small group here now. Any other questions or issues?
I don't think we have any.
Okay.
I don't have anything else either.
Well, you guys have all been very active on the discussion forum recently, so we may got a lot of things answered there. Anybody else? If not, we're all going to get an extra half hour that we might back this afternoon. I'll give us just another shot here. We do have another open call scheduled for November. That's a very busy time of the year with people submitting a lot of claims, getting their end of the year, either using their flexible spending accounts or whatever they have. So usually a busy time. I think we're doing it the second week of November. You'll get another meeting announcement, and hopefully we'll have you on the call then as well. So one more chance. Any other questions or issues anyone wants to raise? All right, well, hearing none then, we'll get an extra half hour back for ourselves on a Friday afternoon. Everybody take care and have a great weekend. Again, if we can help with anything, just let me know. If you've got any additional questions or issues that come up, make good use of the discussion forum on our website.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, otherwise, we'll talk to you all again in November. Take care, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.